You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented as always by DraftKings. Make sure you're always using the code Ross over at DraftKings, especially if you are betting on the NFL Draft, which is Thursday night. Obviously, we'll talk about that quite a bit on Tuesday's Even Money Podcast with Steve Fezzik. My buddy Evan Silva is going to join that one to talk about some draft prop bets that he's into. By the way, I had Dane Brugler on today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast, kind of giving a draft overview. So we got everybody you need to hear from, right? We got Emory Hunt, we got Greg Cosell on Wednesday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Greg will talk about his thoughts on some of the top D linemen. And then, of course, we've got Emory today talking about the DBs. You can check him out on social media at FBall Game Plan. I encourage you to do that. Football Game Plan on YouTube. It is absolutely not too late to get the draft guide because it's digital. You know, they'll send it to you that day. FootballGamePlan.com/2024draft guide. You want to know every guy that gets drafted? Bang. You want to know over the weekend those guys that your team signs as undrafted free agents? Boom. You want to know the week after that? Those guys that come in as tryout guys, bazam. I don't even know if bazam's a word, but I had no other words to say. So anyway, my point is, you got it. FootballGamePlan.com/2024draft guide. Been having several of you email me your receipts from buying Emory's draft guide every week. I love it. Keep them coming. FootballGamePlan.com/2024draft guide. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. On social media, you, of course, can watch the show. A lot of people do. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. And you know what I would do? Like, if you're really into the draft, right? Go back and listen or watch the last 8 episodes. They're only 25 minutes, right? So, I don't know. Do the math. You know, that's almost three an hour. You can go through every position and get Emory's thoughts in a very efficient manner. You're going on a 2-hour drive somewhere, or just when you're working out and commuting this week, it's that easy. I highly recommend it. All right, Emory, Thursday night, it's coming. Before we get into your DBs, and I'm looking forward to that, I did want to ask, first of all, what will you be doing draft night? And then secondly, what's the draft like for you? So for me, like, I don't sit down and watch 3 games on all these guys or whatever. Like, I don't evaluate all these guys. I listen to you and Greg and Dane and whatever and everybody else out there, and I consume a lot. For me, I'm just, like, excited to see what the teams do and the strategy and the trades and stuff. But for you that's actually done the work, is it just, like, amusing? Is it entertaining? What's it like for you?
It's still entertaining because we all started as fans initially, right? And we all had aspirations of one day hearing our name called on draft night, right? So to see guys realize that dream is a beautiful thing. I just had a couple of dreams realized in the course of my professional career. I never thought I'd be calling college football games on the network. That's awesome. I never thought I'd be able to create something that would get me known globally. Did that. That's awesome. Like I said, this weekend, I watched Inside College Football, the show on CBS, a lot, religiously, over a decade ago, and to actually be on the show was pretty doggone dope, right? So it's those things that you kind of relate to when you are, watching guys get their names called, put the hat on, go shake the commissioner's hand. So it's still fun for me, but my real work doesn't get started until day 2 and day 3, where I know I have done a lot of work and a lot of, put a lot of resources and energy into this draft guide and to knowing these prospects. So that's when I start to really lock in and see who goes where, what team's done what. Because the first round for me, it's all about the pomp and circumstance and seeing those guys realize that dream.
It never gets old for me. Every aspect of it, it's just, man, it brings back a lot of memories every single week. That reminds me, I need to talk to Jack, our producer, see if we have some of those videos of me discussing what it was like to get the call. And man, Emery, insta chills, and like my eyes fill up a little bit just thinking about that. And I was just being getting a call as an undrafted free agent, you know, not even getting drafted, but I just knew I was getting the chance, right? And you know, it's one thing that I love about you. I love a lot of things about you, but that's why you love all these other leagues. You want as many guys to get a chance at the next level as possible, as many guys to get paid money to play football as possible. And it's a really good point that you make on social media a lot, that like not everybody develops at the same time. It's scary to think about how many guys got missed by not having alternative leagues over, like, when we, like, between NFL Europe and then, like, when these other leagues came out, we lost some guys. Did we lose Kurt Warner? Did we lose a Hall of Famer? Like, did we lose Joe Andruzzi? I mean, there's a lot of guys that played NFL Europe back when I was in it that ended up sticking around having NFL careers, and you wonder what we lost by not having those leagues some of these years, which is one of the reasons why I'm so hopeful that the UFL is here for the long haul. We talk about that a lot. We'll talk about it more in the offseason. I want to get to your corners, because we got corners, we got safeties, and as usual, you have three different types of both positions. For corners, you break them up into boundary corner, field corner, and slot corner. Here's my question for that, Emery. That's how they discuss them in college. And in college, guys are field corners or they're boundary corners. And if you're not familiar, it's because of the hash marks being wider in college. So in college, they play more field and corner, field and boundary, as opposed to left side, right side, whatever. They both have slot corners. There's some similarities to them. But why do you delineate, Emery, between boundary and field when that's not really how the NFL talks about them?
Yeah, that's a great question and great observation, Ross. And the reason why I still do it for projection into the NFL, what I'm basically saying is no different than split in and flanker, or X and Z. They're simply outside and inside receivers, just like they're outside and inside corners. So when I look at boundary versus field corner, what I'm basically saying is the boundary guy, I feel strongly, can cover your X receiver. He's good at press. He's also a good athlete, very good run defender. The field side, I feel like, can call and can cover your Z receiver, because I feel like he's a little bit more athletic, can play off man a little bit better than a guy that I have pegged as the boundary guy. So it's about athleticism. It's about press skills. It's about length and all those good things that you want to see. Now, granted, some guys can do both, which makes them elite prospects. And to your point, slot is universal, whether it's receiver or even corner.
I love it. Let's get to your boundary corners. And let's start with your number one guy. It's really interesting, by the way. Tarion Arnold from Alabama. As you know, Emery, I did that Ole Miss-Bama game. And, you know, the guy coming into the year was Kool-Aid McKinstry. And I think when I did that Ole Miss-Bama game, Tarion Arnold might have been splitting time a little bit with another guy, or he had been maybe the first couple games. But then I was watching the tape, and I was like, I like that guy. He's feisty. He's physical. I knew Kool-Aid had the awesome name and the reputation, but I was like, I like number three. I think maybe I even told you that that week. I was like, who's this guy? And now all of a sudden he might be a top 10 pick and he's the number one corner in the draft for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a technician at the position, man. Footwork, his hand usage, his back pedal, the patience at the line of scrimmage, all of that is teach tape. You know what I'm saying? And so he's just a well-refined defensive back that plays And he plays like a coach out there on the field, and I love that about his game. And that's where he kind of separated himself from the rest of the pack in terms of being my number one corner in this class. I'm a big fan of his game. Love the perspective that he brings to the position. And we've all seen the interview, but you see that manifest itself out there on the field and how he plays the game.
Let's talk about the number two corner, Quinyon Mitchell, which is amazing because I'm getting text messages from friends of mine that are Eagles fans. We got to get Quinyon Mitchell. I know for a fact they've never watched a Toledo game in their life. It is incredible. Incredible. But I want to get your thoughts on Quinyon.
This is the power of the Senior Bowl, right? You know, everybody watched the Senior Bowl. I mean, they might not have seen Toledo. Probably don't even know where Toledo is located on a U.S. map, but they know where the Senior Bowl is, and they know they watched those clips, and they know they've seen Twitter. They know their mock draft machines got Quinyon Mitchell going second overall behind Caleb Williams, right? But when you think about Mitchell, he has outstanding size and athleticism for the position. Everything that you want, he has. The great recovery speed, so he's always going to be able to be in the play. Even when you saw him get beat on film, he was able to get right back in the play. And that's not saying the quarterback underthrew the football, because he was able to get right back in it just in how he has a recovery speed. Then you add on what he did down at the Senior Bowl against top-notch wide receivers, owning one-on-ones, which is very hard to do. We saw guys do that last year that we were very high on, Juju Brents, Darius Rush. He was right there in terms of what he was able to do to lock these wide receivers up and turn the ball over. So good all-around game, battle-tested, checking boxes athletically. He was a clear – he's only a half point behind Terrion Arnold, in my opinion.
I love it. And then last at the boundary corners, Renardo Green from Florida State.
He's a smart corner that understands route concepts, so I love the football IQ. And there's a ton of these Florida State defensive players that are outstanding in this draft class that no one's talking about outside of Jared Verse. So especially when you think about the defensive backs, that used to be like sight unseen, right? Florida State defensive back, I'm sold. Give me Terrell Buckley 10 times out of 11, right? So this is someone that definitely can play the game. A boundary corner. I love the fact that he's good man coverage, press man, all those good things. And that's where I feel like he's really elevated himself. Good East-West Shrine Bowl, big fan of what he brings to the table as well.
Just for the record, Emory's sleeper is, or underrated boundary is Shaheem Battle from NC State. Small school boundary, Jordan Battle from UVA. What are the odds that you're on small school and underrated both have the same last name, Battle?
That's my fault. That should be Jordan Whitley.
Oh, God, sorry. Jordan Whitley from Virginia Wise. My bad. I was like, wow, that's crazy. You know what else is crazy, Emory? The discount you can get on the Game Time app. Unbelievable last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They got flash deals, zone deals. I love the panoramic view from your seat in the app before. I don't even know how they did that. How did they do that where they can show you exactly what the picture looks like? They got the lowest price guarantee. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DRAFT for $20 off your first purchase. We got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, baseball, the NFL draft. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code DRAFT for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Got to have some beer, by the way, when you go to one of these games. Drink some Labatt Blue Light like I will be doing all weekend watching the draft with your friends. Live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Okay, let's get to your field corner, Emory, and your number one field corner, Max Melton from Rutgers.
Click and close type player, can play off, can play press, does a great job in the open field as a tackler, drives in the ball rather well, plays the ball rather well in the air, just a complete cornerback. He's a cornerback's cornerback. I love his game, and again, you can't go wrong with a Greg Schiano coach, defensive back. I think he is someone that I would take in the first round. Wouldn't surprise me to see him go in round one.
Wow. You know what's funny? I was at the broadcast boot camp a couple weeks ago, Emery, and Logan Ryan was there from Rutgers. Daron Harmon was there from Rutgers. I mean, they both played 12 years. We're talking about the McCourties. They were like a factory there for a while when Schiano was there the first time. It is very, very impressive. All right, talk to me about your number two guy, because it sounds like he's pretty gifted. A lot of people think he might go high. Nate Wiggins from Clemson.
He has above average ball instinct, so that's always a plus in my book, but has superb footwork and athleticism. He can turn and run with anybody. That's where he is going to be a problem for any receiver, because he's always there, always in the way, has good length for his size. He, what, 6'1", about 175. That's only knock on him. We could put weight on him, but the skill set and the speed and the athleticism is where you are becoming a big fan of Nate Wiggins. Again, off coverage, click and close, plant and accelerate, driving the ball. He's tremendous.
Your third field corner is Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville.
Give me the dudes that look like they like fighting. I said that about receivers. I've said that about defensive backs. Brownlee is someone that's of that mold, can fit that MO to a T. And he is someone, to me, I feel like people slept on because he wasn't as healthy this year. But you go down to the Senior Bowl, you watch him lock up and run routes for the receivers, essentially, and play the ball. So Brownlee, to me, is definitely a high riser in other people's eyes. But he's always been a fantastic corner. And I know Coach Ellis down there, the coach at Louisville, when he coaches defensive backs, they go in the league and they go and play a long time. They go play a long time in the league. Charvarius Ward is another one of his proteges. So when he was at Middle Tennessee. So I know Brownlee can ball.
Underrated field corner, Quantez Stiggers from the Toronto Argonauts. Just a fantastic story. If you're not familiar with it, you will be. The small school field corner, Nylon Levi Miller from Minot State. Let's get to your slot corner. Your number one slot corner. This is interesting. Daquan Hardy from Penn State, Emery. I remember Penn State didn't offer him. And then in the state championship game, he had maybe four touchdowns, an interception return for touchdown, a kickoff return for touchdown, a punt return for touchdown, like a 60-yard catch. And I texted the people I know at Penn State. I was like, are you sure you don't want this guy? And they revisited it, and they offered him the day before signing day, and he starts like 3 years for them and plays well. Tell me about him as a prospect.
He's a tremendous slot defender, Ross. You go watch the Ohio State game, and he is playing lights out. And all of the things that you mentioned that he does is another reason why I think his stock is where it needs to be in terms of high-value player, because he's an excellent elite special teamer, not only in coverage, but also as a returner on both sides, and he can also turn the ball over. So give me all of those things in a nice package as a slot corner. I think he's tremendous.
All right, your number two slot corner is Jerrion Jones from Florida State. Number three, Mike Sandstrill from Michigan.
Jerrion Jones, I have in my notes, he sees the game from an all-22 perspective. Outstanding football IQ and athleticism to combine that. He's always in on a lot of plays. And as a good size for a slot corner, he's 6 feet, 190. And Sandstrill is someone that we've talked about a lot and people are talking about a lot. Core special teamer, former offensive guy receiver, so he sees the game differently as a cornerback. So you know he also has the ball skills and he still has that upside left in this game.
Underrated slot, Marcus Banks from Mississippi State. Your small school slot is Eddie Morales from Monmouth. For the safeties, you again have three safeties. Now, it's interesting because they used to talk about this a lot more when we were younger, Emery. There was a clear free safety and a clear strong safety. Now, I don't know that people really do that. Like I have to look at starting lineup. I think they just have them both listed as safety maybe, which means that everybody's kind of got to be a combo safety. But there are definitely guys that they like more in the box, definitely guys that they like more in the deep middle of the field. So the guy that's going to come in the box more will be the strong safety. The guy that's going to be deep center of the field more often is the free safety. Combo safety is a guy that you think is pretty interchangeable already, Emery?
Yeah, and it can also double down and play corner if need be. Can cover bigger wide receivers and tight ends in the slot like he's a a slot corner. So that gives you that added ability right there in the middle.
Number one free safety, Jalen Simpson from Auburn.
Superb skills as a true deep safety. This year, Ross, to your point, it was kind of hard to really figure out, okay, who is technically a free safety? Who's a good free safety? Because they all are interchangeable. You watch Georgia's secondary, and you're looking at four of the same guy. Like, everybody's just playing all over the place, and they look the same way. But Simpson, to me, I think has true deep third-type capabilities and fantastic athlete and someone that definitely does a good job of being patient, which is always a key.
Sean Preston, Mississippi State.
Good fluidity, good ability, very good tackler, does a great job in jarring the ball loose from receivers and is always able to arrive on at the right time and arrive with a purpose. I think he does a good job also in matching up one-on-one.
I like it. Trey Taylor from Air Force.
Yeah. How often do you not talk about a Jim Thorpe Award when I feel like he has gone under-discussed this whole draft process? Great instincts, can even kick down inside as a slot defender, good versus the run, good blitzer, good ball skills, and we know he has the great leadership skills.
Underrated free safety, Walter Reynolds from Ohio, the former Holy Cross Crusader. The small school free safety, Jordan Tolles from Morgan State. Strong safety, you got Cole Bishop from Utah, number one.
Outstanding around the line of scrimmage, man. He is an extra defender in the box versus the run. And he plays with his hair on fire, just like Jonah Ellis does as a edge rusher. We said this before in the show. Utah defensive player, sight unseen, sign me up.
Number two, Chris Edmonds, Arizona State.
Fantastic athleticism. And again, big body guy, 6'2", 209, had a really good Tropical Bowl. And it's important because, again, how many evaluators were there at the Tropical Bowl to watch this guy perform in person and live? Yours truly. But I do feel like he is someone, classic strong safety. They had a really good secondary low-key out there in Tempe.
Three is Sanusi Kane from Purdue.
I tweeted out a clip about him earlier in the month. This is someone that can bounce around and play either in the slot, can play back deep, can play, you know, not single high, but, you know, split safety look, can blitz, can tackle, can cover backs and tight ends. I love his game. He's one of my favorite defensive prospects in the class.
Wow. All right. Underrated strong safety is Kobe Fuqua from Jacksonville State. The small college strong safety, John Huggins from Jackson State. Number one combo safety, Thomas Harper from Notre Dame.
Now, he's a terrific football player, ideal slot defender, can mirror what you want from a slot corner. So he can cover receivers rather well, but also gives you that good strength right there in the slot versus the run, too. So he's the perfect blend of the free safety and strong safety.
Number two, I've been hearing more and more about Dadrian Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech.
DTD, as he's affectionately known by a lot of people. He has cat-like quickness and another guy that can definitely trigger from a split safety look down into the box to really make a play in the alley. Also does a good job in closing on a receiver. So he can sit patiently in his back pedal, then boom, he's driving to accelerate and close on the receiver and making a play.
You got Ryan Watts from Texas, number three. Your underrated combo safety is Sione Vaki from Utah. Man, you love Utah. And Utah has good defensive players. Small school combo safety, P.J. Jules from Southern Illinois. Little surprise, Emery. I don't see Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. It seems like a lot of people really like him. Is there something you didn't like about Tyler?
I'm always worried when everyone talks about one player because I feel like they all start watching the one player at the same time. It kind of community gather takes. So I will trust my evaluation and sit back and just wait to see. I feel like there's a lot of other guys that put a lot more on tape consistently than Newbin did, who I also feel like is a really good player. But I just like the fact that everyone tends to talk about one player at the same time. People need to find that very skeptical and weird. But Ryan Watts, to me, is someone, he could be a cornerback or he could be a safety. And I feel like that crossover is going to be ideal, especially when you're facing teams like Kansas City, when you're facing teams that have these athletic tight ends, you slap him on there. You got somebody that has the big physical wide receiver, you slap him on there. So to me, he's ideally what you want. He brings all of that skill set together in a 6'2", 210-pound frame.
If you want to be able to know about every single player, it's footballgameplan.com/2024draftguide. I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but Tuckheads, which any of you can be, patreon.com/RTmedia, we're having a virtual happy hour. via Zoom Wednesday night, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. Just go to patreon.com/RTmedia. I'll be on the Zoom having a beer. Anybody that wants to ask me a question about the NFL draft or your team's draft, or I don't care, beer, food, whatever, I will be there. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. He's at F-Ball Game Plan. Make sure you're following Emery all weekend long. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.